Hey, it's Tony and Jenny Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like this show, please consider helping us keep it on the air by becoming an EPP, that's an extra podcast person. You get a ton of bonus episodes and a brand new one every single week and exclusive video content as well.
It's only $5 a month and you can sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Without our EPPs, this show could not go on and our expenses to keep the show going continue to go up. So if you like it and you want it to continue into the future, please consider signing up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get all of those exclusives. I can guarantee you will absolutely love them.
Thanks for helping keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air.
If you're already an EPP, thank you so much for the support. If you're not and you've been thinking about signing up, please do so now and allow us to continue to do this show for you every single day. Sign up to be an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you so much for the support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a beloved companion returns time after time to comfort a girl through her troubling times. Teens gather for a good time of drinking and hanging out in an abandoned house, only to find it's anything but fun. Is a murder victim trying to convey a message to her still-living best friend? And a young woman needs help deciding if the events in her new residence are paranormal or if they're just her adjusting to the home. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hello.
Hello, and how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well. Looks like some interesting stories.
Yeah, we have quite a few today.
On today's episode of the program. I'm trying to figure out which one I think would be the abandoned house. I'm always just kind of drawn to abandoned places. So
sure.
I don't know why that is.
I don't know. There's something that about creepiness that kind of attracts us.
You think that's it? It alone is just the creepiness factor? I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
It's, I think, the mystery of it, of what's in there, what lingers there.
I think that's probably a lot of it, is what's going on behind those walls that you don't know or you don't see. And it's one of those things where I've always kind of wondered, you know, especially like older abandoned homes, and maybe because I grew up around a lot of them, not from Detroit or anything, but it was just that old creepy house that was near my my parents' house out in the country. And it was just that it was your perfect atypical haunted house. You know, it was just so creepy looking. It had all the, what would you describe it as?
Gingerbread.
Yeah, it really was.
Architectural gingerbread on
Yeah,
it.
Very, you know, gothic looking, this and that, and the perfect just creepy windows. And I was always so intrigued, like, what is behind those doors? And I never have ever gotten a chance to go in there. Some kids actually ended up going in a YouTube video, you know, recently.
Oh, wow.
And I was amazed at how, I guess, kept up the inside is. I was, like, shocked. It looks to be in semi-okay condition.
That's kind of funny.
Because it's been sitting abandoned for at least 30 years.
Yeah.
And the paint still looked not, like, terribly crumbly on the... I don't know. It was just weird to see how good of shape it was in. It wasn't look... I mean, I've seen, like, some... I've toured apartments. Let me put it that way. I've toured apartments when I've been apartment hunting years ago that were in worse condition than this house was. So very, very interesting just to see that. And then sometimes you have ones that you think, oh, there's going to have all these antiques in there and all these real creepy, neat things. And you check it out and it's like completely, you know, just decrepit and falling apart. But I don't know. I've always just had a thing for that. Anyhow, it kind of fits in with what we do. So 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. We would absolutely love to hear it. First off, Lorraine writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. First off, I'd love to tell you I'm a huge fan of your show. I'm only a recent listener, but I'd like to share a rather unique story of mine with you. To really get my story, I need to give you some background. When I was a baby, my family had a cat with pale yellow eyes and long fur that can be best described as the color as volcanic ash. She was a rescue that had lost her kittens. When I was born, she was very protective of me. When I'd cry, she would rub against my crib and go to whatever room my parents were in, meow, and run back into my room. This was something she'd repeat until my parents came into my room to check on me. She was always by me, watching me, licking me, showing me love. When I was a little under 2 years old, she was hit by a car and killed. The first time I remember something happening was when I was 5. I was lying in bed, upset because I had a bad day, when I felt pressure on my feet, like an animal had just jumped up on the bed. I figured it was one of my other cats, since we had 3 at the time. Looked down and there was an ash gray cat with pale yellow eyes looking at me. The cat walked up to me, licked my face, and purred. I fell asleep a short while later, and when I woke up, the cat was gone. A few years later, my mom and I were standing in our driveway outside, upset because one of our other cats was missing. He eventually was found, when a gray cat with pale yellow eyes walked up to us and sat down. My mom went inside and got it some food, but it wasn't even slightly interested. The cat came and sat on my lap and purred. My mom and I had to go inside a while later, and when we came back outside, there was no sign of the cat. When I was 13, I was with my family in our house out of state and had injured myself when my parents were gone. An ashy gray cat with pale yellow eyes walked up to me and sat with me while I bandaged my injury. It was very comforting, and again, the cat refused to eat anything I offered it. When I felt better, the cat walked out of the room I was in. I followed it, but the cat was nowhere to be found. I searched the entire house, but there was no cat. The last time I saw this cat was a year ago, when I had a very bad day at school. I was on break during my night class, and I was sitting on the steps outside the building my class was in. Now this school has lots of cats wandering around, but yet again, the ashy gray cat with pale yellow eyes walked up to me and sat with me. Several of my classmates came out and acknowledged the cat, petting it and commenting on how unique its eyes were or how pretty it was. When break ended, I stood up to go back to class. When the cat walked off, kind of just dissolved. I know how weird that sounds, but it's the only way I can describe it. The cat was there 1 second, and then I was just staring at concrete the next. So that's my ghost story. Some people think it's just coincidence, but she was such a unique-looking cat. It's hard for me to imagine there are several others that look just like her, able to get into rooms I'm in and just leave as inconspicuously. The thing that I found interesting was the cat never left fur. Never encountered a long-haired cat that didn't leave fur on you after it sits on your lap. It's nice to feel that there's someone looking after me when I'm sad, especially my cat.
I think you became its kitten after it lost all its kittens.
Mm-hmm.
And it started to really kind of take on a maternal type role as far as wanting to go be there when you were upset and lick you and everything. And so it was just trying to stay with you as much as it can. And I think it is probably the ghost of that cat, because what are the odds of a cat that looked just like that showing up all these different times?
Well, I agree. And just to the point of, you know, what are the odds of it? Like exactly what they said, getting into all these places and then just being gone.
Mm-hmm.
And no fur. Maybe the perfect cat for me.
It would be. A ghost cat would be perfect for you.
I wish I could get my kitty ghost cat to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think it lives up at my parents' house.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting if the girls, like when they were sitting on the bed when we visit, because they stay in my old room, if suddenly like they feel like a cat jump up on the bed, but there's no cat in the room.
Yeah, could be.
It's Kitty. The ghost of Kitty. Although Kitty was a real friendly cat. It wasn't like ominous or mean or... She was like the friendliest cat in the world.
Yeah.
But I had that. I had that. I never saw the ghost of Kitty, but I had many a times where I felt like A cat jumped on my bed and there was no cat in my room. Because all the cats we had after Kitty hated me with a vengeance. So they would not sleep on my bed with me. Aww. But Kitty would. Kitty always loved jumping up there. So I don't know. It was surprising, number one, that a cat, I felt a cat. Because I knew the cats hated me. So like, oh, what's going on? You know? And then I look up and there's no cat. It was until we started doing the show that I didn't connect those dots.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting.
It is.
Marissa writes in, let me start by saying that my family is very paranormally inclined. A very superstitious bunch of people that are religious, but we don't religiously go to church. Both men and women in my family have some sensitivity to the afterlife or the world beyond the veil or the nothingness that resides after death. Whatever you're inclined to believe. So we're no strangers to these occurrences. I've experienced a lot of activity in my short life. I being only 21, and I'd say that about 60 to 70% of things or ghosts I've encountered have been good. But that being said, I've met some really bad ones. I've even encountered a few demons. One such occasion, I was 16, and at that age, I was pretty troubled. My parents had divorced only a few years before, and it was really messy. I sort of used all that as an excuse to sneak out and justify all the bad things I was doing. I had a habit of sneaking out with friends and finding places to drink. A group of friends and I had found an abandoned home a good ways from where we all lived. It's about 1 or 2 in the morning. This building might have been just recently vacated since the electricity was still on. A friend of mine had some lights in his trunk from when he worked late with his dad. We plugged some in and got all the alcohol off and on the house, which seemed fairly normal. Some damage to the inside, but that was something you expected from a home that's been abandoned or foreclosed on, so we didn't think too much about it. We'd been there for about an hour before things started to get strange. First, we heard some noises upstairs and wrote it off as the home settling. Not too long after, we heard two thumps, as if someone was hitting the floor above us. This happened at intervals, soft at first, but then it got louder, more insistent. So much so that one of my friends had insisted that we check it out, thinking that it was an animal that might have wandered in and gotten trapped. So a bunch of the guys made their way up the stairs, goading each other first to see if it was a ghost. It was kind of like they were mocking whatever might have been there, and no sooner did they start making ghost noises did we hear a long, drawn-out moan, as if someone was in pain. We'd all stopped in our tracks. Once we had clarified that it was none of us, our leader, you know, the friend that everyone likes the most and was cool to hang out with, made it to the top of the landing. He glanced around before he gasped. He asked if anyone had seen what he had. A friend behind him asked if he had seen the shadow that shot past the stairs heading in the direction of the door at the end of the hall. He had nodded. Everyone was looking at each other, suddenly unsure about this adventure. I didn't feel anything off about the place. I was generally able to sense a malicious presence, so I walked up the stairs and headed towards the door. When I touched the doorknob, I felt a sick feeling in the pit of my stomach. I broke out in a cold sweat. It was then very clearly a child's face flashed in my mind's eye. No definite features, all blurred, but I could feel that this child was in pain, devastating pain. Before I could really process what I was seeing, a voice rang out, "Get out!" I jumped and released the doorknob. "We need out now." I whipped around and my friends looked terrified. They asked what had happened and I shook my head. "We needed to leave. This is somewhere we shouldn't be." One of my close girlfriends, who had grown up with a family much like mine, agreed and waited for me at the bottom of the stairs. Her boyfriend agreed as well. The rest insisted to stay. Luckily, my friend's boyfriend had brought his own car, and we quickly exited the building after gathering our belongings. Maybe a few other friends, having seen how serious we were about leaving, left as well. I heard later that week that some of the friends that stayed had opened the door to discover dead animals in corners of the room and a pentagram in the middle. There were used candles everywhere around the symbol, and there was a child's toy in the center of the pentagram, as it prompted everyone to vacate the building. We don't talk much about this incident, but those who didn't listen and had horrible nightmares for weeks after the incident, they described the very child I had seen. Never gone back, and I've learned recently that the building has been torn down. This is one of several things I've experienced. More than willing to talk about my experience and share the knowledge I've gained from generations of family members and my own experiences. Thank you for reading this and allowing me to share stories that I don't always feel comfortable discussing with other people. Love the show.
Do you think the ghost of the child is in pain because of the, you know, seance or whatever ritual you want to call it, mm-hmm. where their toy was being used? It somehow trapped him in a bad place.
I'm gonna guess that maybe there was knowledge someone had of the child being there, and that's where the seance was being held,
mm-hmm.
in an effort to communicate or help them cross over. And maybe they're just still stuck there.
Okay.
Maybe it was one of those kind of half-assed seances where they didn't really know exactly what they were meddling with,
mm-hmm.
and ended up just kind of conjuring and stirring things up a bit.
Okay.
And not necessarily doing any good.
Okay.
That'd be my guess.
Sure.
If it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily know in pain, but I would say probably confusion.
Well, I was just kind of confused by the fact that they said it seemed like the child was in pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if maybe that's lingering from some kind of abuse that went on while
sure.
the child was alive,
yeah.
or what.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I could be, I mean, it's painful to be, you know, in a frustrated mental state
mm-hmm.
for such a long period of time. That could end up being very painful
mm-hmm.
emotionally.
Sure.
So I could see them being there. I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's hard to say, but it sounds like whatever someone was trying to do there, not these kids, but whoever was there before with the seance, didn't necessarily succeed
mm-hmm.
in what they were trying to do. Interesting story. Very interesting story. Makes you think about all the abandoned places that you've seen, and I don't know. My family had a patch of land, and it was near the lake. Where I grew up, and there was a trailer on it, and the trailer was originally just used as kind of like a little vacation retreat, if you will,
uh-huh.
you know, get away from the farm, and they just kind of went down. My grandparents would do this, I guess, and it was near the lake, and they could, you know, stay there for a couple days and go out to the water and such. And after my grandparents had died in that car accident well before I was born, their youngest son ended up living in it.
Mm-hmm.
He just took over the trailer. And I mean, it was a regular size livable trailer. I was just back in the woods, and I remember him living in it actively in when he was actually there, and it was kept up well. But then years later, you know, he moved out, moved on, got a house and all that. But the trailer was still there,
uh-huh.
out there in the woods. And because it wasn't like really a attractive sellable property, because I mean it was in the woods. I mean, you had to go down this long path, no road, through the trees to get back to it. You know, nobody ended up residing in it ever again. I think like they might have used it for hunting every now and then,
mm-hmm.
but even that stopped at some point. And then I remember visiting it as a kid, and I gotta go check on the trailer. My dad would go and just make sure when we broke in, not that there was anything to steal in it, but and it was always kind of an intriguing thing to me. It's like, oh, this is an abandoned house, and there were still pictures up and stuff here and there.
Oh, wow.
But eventually raccoons infested it.
Oh.
And it was so bad that it was like literally all over the floor droppings. It was horrible.
Ew.
But it was interesting to see it like from being a functional home,
sure,
to like that. Like, I remember watching Transformers on a black and white television in that trailer,
mm-hmm.
when I was really little. And then, you know, 6-7 years later, they eventually did haul it out of there. It was just, it was creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Little bit creepy. No, nothing ghostly about it. Just the ghost of raccoons, maybe. But it was an interesting establishment. Dennis writes in, "Dear Jenny and Tony, thank you so much for the wonderful show. It makes my workday fly by faster than anything. My story is not a scary one, but I find it quite pleasing in a way. My grandmother, who we lost several years back, was always a firm believer in anything paranormal. She lived on the third story of a building in my hometown. On the seventh story lived an elderly woman by the name of Beck. My grandmother and she became great friends, and she helped Beck out with everyday tasks such as shopping and cleaning. Right before Beck died, she told my grandmother that when she was gone, my grandmother should have the apartment, as it had a better view of the harbor and downtown. My grandmother told her that she wouldn't have time and energy to move all her stuff, and not to talk about death that much. Beck then told her that when she was gone, she would come comfort my grandmother and put a hand on her shoulder once in a while, just to show her, just to slow her down a bit. A couple of years passed, my grandmother ended up moving to the apartment after Beck died. Now remember, this is on the seventh floor. One day, I was sitting with my grandmother, smoking a cigarette and watching TV. I heard a knock on the balcony door, three distinct knocks. It wasn't the building settling or anything like that. I jumped up, looked at the door in shock. My grandmother didn't even flinch. She just said, "Go on, Beck, come on in, you know, I won't get up to open that door for you." Just then, I could hear the floor creaking as if someone was walking on it. The footsteps went from the balcony door to the kitchen. I asked my grandmother, "What the hell was that?" She just smiled and said, "Oh, that's old Beck. She comes to visit me sometimes and puts her hand on my shoulder whenever I'm feeling stressed out." She wasn't scared at all. She was just happy that someone was there when she was alone. She even said, "Why should I be scared? I always have an old friend with me on lonely days." Anyways, that's my story. Still gives me great joy to know that my grandmother always had a friend by her side, and even maybe someone to welcome her home when she died. Thank you for the show. It really is amazing. Dennis from Denmark.
I think that's neat that you were there for that, so that if she did decide to tell you, it wasn't just, "Okay, Grandma, where's your mind going?"
Because that would really be the first thing you'd be thinking.
Sure.
I mean, it's like, "Grandma thinks there's an old dead neighbor
that comes in the balcony on the seventh floor."
Yep.
But that's nice, though, that you could be there and that you can confirm that that's not something.
It was completely verifiable and really kind of creepy all at the same time. I don't know. I don't know how I would ever be so comfortable with that, even if I was in the grandma situation. I suppose after a certain point, you're just like, whatever, anything's possible. But that's a little creepy.
It is. But you know what? I think when you're up there in age, it might be kind of comforting to know that, you know, when you die, sure, it's not the end.
Your friend's right there.
Mm-hmm.
They made it over.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go and haunt other residents of the same apartment building together right after. Interesting story. Very interesting story. I really like that a lot. Thank you for sharing that with us. Of course, our phone number here is 855-853-4802. You can share your real ghost story with us anytime you want. And of course, please remember to press that subscribe button, whatever platform it is you listen to us on: iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Spotify. Press subscribe, and you'll get all those shows delivered right to you. And it helps us climb up in those rankings. And that gets a better show for you because we get more stories to share. So please do that. Christine writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I recently found your show, and I love it. You guys drown out the mindless babbling of my coworkers every day. I'm considering becoming an EPP soon. My story takes place in the 90s. My husband and I had just moved in together, and his mom had just sold the rural house he grew up in. She made arrangements to give her three indoor-outdoor cats to a farm because she couldn't take them with her. We decided we wanted to take in one of the cats, a fluffy orange and white male named Oscar. We had Oscar for several years, along with another kitty named Rio. However, Oscar proved to be a real challenge for us. We now lived in the city and tried to keep him indoors exclusively, but since he grew up in the country, he was used to going in and out as he pleased. He'd frequently sneak out, and we couldn't see him for a day or two at a time. Sadly, he was hit by a car and killed a couple years after we moved into the city. We were, of course, very sad, but that was not the last we heard from Oscar. He had a very distinctive, loud voice, and when he was alive, he loved to lie in a particular spot in the hallway. My husband said he would occasionally hear Oscar's unmistakable row from his favorite spot. I thought he was pulling my leg until I was home alone one night. Doing some crafting, then I heard Oscar's howl in the same area in that hallway. My other cat, Rio, was sitting next to me at the time, and she heard it as well. She perked up, jumped off my desk, and ran towards the hallway, presumably looking for her missing friend. Sadly, soon after my only ghostly encounter with Oscar, our house caught fire while we were out of town, and we lost Rio in the blaze. Needless to say, we were crushed. We moved back in after a few months of remodeling, and the spot Oscar used to haunt in the hallway is now part of our kitchen. There's been no sign of Oscar ever since. Can't help but think he stuck around so that he and his friend Rio could go on to their next 9 lives together.
I think that's really sad. The cat died in the fire and the other one got hit by a car. But, you know, you get to where you know your cat's meow and it's not just a generic. You know which cat it is.
Mm-hmm.
I remember growing up, we had a cat. We called it Smokey. And Smokey would love to throw herself against my bedroom door when I'm trying to sleep. And she would almost sing. She'd have this range of meows that sounded like she was singing. And I knew she did it just to irritate me because she never liked me when I was awake. So I totally understand knowing Oscar's meow.
It's like voices.
Mm-hmm.
Cats really do have distinct meows.
Yes.
If you will. Different breeds of dogs have different barks, but does this, do dogs have different barks when it comes to like the same type of breed? Are they as distinctive as cats, would you say?
I don't know.
I'm not trying to offend any dog people because we have a dog. I love the dog. I always had cats my whole life and I know how distinctive they are.
Mm-hmm.
And just in my, I guess my opinion would be that cats are a little more distinctive with their vocal abilities. I don't know.
I think you're right because we had, well, I had 2 border collies growing up. They were brother and sister. And then we have a border collie now. And we could tell which one was barking outside when I was a kid.
Yeah.
By the sound of it.
Sure.
Even though they were roughly the same age, same breed.
Okay.
And same size. So I would say they probably have some different sounds. Now, I can't remember, and it's been too many years to compare those dogs with Lena's bark.
Sure.
I would think that they would be somewhat close, but yet different.
Yeah. I suppose when they're your dogs,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you have I've never had multiple dogs at one time.
Oh, well, we got to fix that.
So I've never been able to, I guess, have, you know, firsthand experience at that.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's because a cat's meow is a little more melodic, if you will.
Yeah.
Than it is. A bark is a harsh sound. I mean, howling is something totally different. I totally get how you can tell different howls.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose once you have multiple dogs for a while, you could certainly tell the difference between them. I'm just going to guess it's easier to tell the difference between cat meows.
Probably so.
It's just a guess. I don't know. I don't know why I get on the tangent, but
I was
just trying to think about, you know, the specifics of how to identify your dead pets.
Okay.
When they come back. I read a book about that. How to identify your dead pets.
You're going to write one or you read one?
I'm going to write one.
Okay.
That's what it's going to be about.
Get right on that.
It's going to be like a 4-page book. That's can sit right at the counter at the bookstore.
Or out on Kindle only.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Angel writes in, hello. First time write-in, long-time listener. My story took place 18 years ago when I was 20. It's an event I'll never forget. 18 years ago, my best friend Jay, don't want to reveal her name, was murdered. She was shot in the face at a neighborhood park by a crazy drug dealer. Shortly after she was murdered, I started experiencing strange occurrences. I was awoken in the middle of the night, so scared and heart racing by a white floating mist of some kind. As big as a person. I say mist because I could never make out what it was exactly. The mist appeared by the bedroom door at first. It scared me so bad I closed my eyes in hopes it would go away. Usually did by the time I was brave enough to open my eyes. I did not sleep the rest of the night. The next night it happened again. I was awoken out of dead sleep with that panic feeling, with the same mist, except it was closer this time. Each night, this mist would get closer and closer. I was so scared to sleep at night that I even tried sleeping on my couch with no success. I could not figure out what was going on. Maybe I was just going crazy or dreaming the whole thing. I cannot recall how long this actually went on. Finally, a time came when the mist appeared and it was standing so close to me when I awoke that I was too scared to move and afraid to reopen my eyes. When I did, it was gone. I finally had enough and went to see a psychic. The psychic told me it was my best friend and that she was upset with me. She suggested I burn a black candle to get rid of a spirit and a pink candle to keep the peace. At the same time, in my room all night. I did just that and never had the same problem again. I was still bothered by why Jay would want to scare me like that. But then hit me that night that Jay was killed. She called me asking to go with her and her boyfriend that very night. I had declined due to having previous plans. If I had accepted, I probably would have been killed myself that night. Oh, by the way, the boyfriend was shot. He did survive and recovered from his wounds. I wonder if that is why Jay was haunting me. To this day, I still wake up occasionally in a panic to see someone standing there. They quickly disappear, and I never know who it is. I'm never able to tell if it's a dream or if I'm really seeing something. What do you guys think? Would my best friend really come to scare the living shit out of me? Or did I dream the whole thing?
I don't think your best friend is purposely trying to scare you. I think she may be angry that her life ended so abruptly and she's no longer able to be around you.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think she's trying to do anything malicious or out of jealousy of her dying and you not.
I could see it being one of those things where you're dead and you don't have a whole lot of control over how you are projecting yourself to others.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, when the dead return to the living, a lot of times it kind of comes across a little bit creepy.
Yeah.
So I could see that may be what's going on here, where, you know, she's just trying to make her presence known, maybe communicate further, but it naturally is scaring you. I wonder if her reaction to it, if she was able to be a little more prepared for it now that it's happened several times. If when it happens again, or if it happens again, if she's able to kind of stay calm and be more receptive to it when it's happening, the experience, if that would encourage the entity or the friend to stick around more. I wonder if the entity is disappearing really quick because it's sensing that it's really disturbing her friend and she doesn't want to do that.
And it seems like when she was noticing it, each time she noticed it would get a little bit closer.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, okay, you see me. Let's try a little bit closer and kind of baby stepping its way closer over time to where it's undeniable what you're seeing.
I would do that if you're up for it, basically.
Well, it sounds like she hasn't been back in a while.
Yeah, that's true. Well, if she ever did come back, you have some new tools in the toolbox to use.
There you go.
For conjuring your friend up to stick around a little bit longer for a nice game of Tiddlywinks. What is Tiddlywinks anyway?
I'm not sure. Is that the same as pickup sticks?
I don't know. Never played Tiddlywinks. It's one of those things like I always heard said. And how about Parcheesi?
I don't
know that one either. It's games that we've never played.
Okay.
Amy writes in, hey guys, this is Amy. You read my story about Wilfred and the Bad Man apparition a while back. It was great to hear it in Tony's voice, and I had goosebumps from start to finish. Thank you so much for reading it. The story I want to share today is about a small one-bedroom duplex my ex-fiance Dell and I lived in San Rafael, California. The building was initially a small house, but was converted to a duplex, and the units were side by side. It was always a bit dim in our side, as there wasn't much natural light coming in. But we didn't mind, and our landlords, who lived on the other side, were a sweet couple, about our age, early 20s. Everything felt fine when we first moved in, but a couple of months later, we both started to have nightmares every time we slept in the bedroom. There were times we'd fall asleep on the futon in the living room while watching TV. And sleep was always easy out there, with no bad dreams to speak of. We'd sleep in the bedroom the next night, only to sleep fitfully and with the bad dreams again. We kept trying, though, and hadn't yet come to the conclusion that anything paranormal was going on, although we both had a number of our own experiences growing up. Eventually, the nightmares became so prevalent that we ended up sleeping in the living room full time. Del used to put the computer in sleep mode at night, and he had a stationary mouse with a trackball in it to turn the computer back on. Just roll the trackball and the screen would turn on. There were times I'd be lying awake in bed and we'd hear the computer wake up and turn on, even though there was nobody in the living room. We'd wake up the next morning and find it on the screen that would be really bright, as if someone turned it all the way up. Never turned on by itself when we slept in the living room, though. Our bathroom was through the bedroom and at the back of the house. And soon after the nightmares started, I'd get really intense feeling of being watched when I was in the shower. Del looked all over the bathroom just to make sure there weren't any peepholes where the neighbors could look through or anything, and he didn't find any. Eventually, the feeling of being watched got so bad that I couldn't bring myself to get in the shower unless he was home and in the bathroom with me. It was a tiny room, but he'd humor me and just sit on the toilet or floor while waiting for me. Using the bathroom in general when he was out unnerved me, so the times I couldn't wait for him to come home, I always hurried as much as I could. I remembered one instance when I was sitting on the bed, getting my shoes on and facing the closet with my side towards the bathroom, and Del was in there with the door open while he shaved. Suddenly, he turned around and yelled angrily at me, "Hey, what'd you do that for? I almost cut myself." I asked him what he was talking about, and he said something bumped against his shoulder and he thought I'd thrown something at him. We were both pretty spooked out by that, and by then he started to wonder if the place was haunted. He had a good-sized action figure collection, mostly Spawn and other comic characters, and he had them out of the boxes and standing on one of the speakers in the living room. Sometimes we'd find one facing a slightly different direction from where we thought it was originally, but figured maybe he had moved due to vibrations from the speakers being on. Then we came home one day to find his computer screen on yet again, with the brightness up and one of the Spawn figures lying on the floor a few feet away from the speaker. I would have chalked it up to having been off balance and falling, except for the fact that it was not only far away, it was one of the figures that normally stood in the middle of the speaker. The ones towards the front were untouched. At this point, we came to the conclusion that it was pretty likely something paranormal was going on, and both got the sense that it was probably a young boy. I did wonder at times if it could be Wilfred, but it just didn't feel like him somehow. Ultimately, I never asked, and we never actually tried to engage with whomever or whatever it was, as we didn't want things to get worse if we gave it more attention. We also never asked the neighbors if they had any experiences or if they knew the history of the house. Looking back, I'm not sure why we didn't, but I really wish that we had. Thanks again for all that you do, and best wishes to you both, Amy. Amy, thanks for writing in and sharing that story with us. Really interesting story. I mean, it's kind of interesting, you know, we were talking about animals earlier and how you can sense their, you know, who they are or which one it is by their barks or their meows. And with ghosts, when you have, you know, you're somewhat of a, you know, residual haunting, or a regular haunting, maybe, you know, of a entity that seems to be intelligent, with a Wilfred character, and if you're experiencing another one, it's interesting. You can almost, in a sixth sense way, tell who it is there too, without ever actually having to see it, just by their actions or what vibes it's giving off, and that kind of sounds like what's going on there. Interesting story. Thank you for sharing that with us. Hey, by the way, if you guys like the show, of course, please become an EPP. That's the biggest thing you can do to help keep the show on the air. and support it. It's only $5 a month. You get all the bonus content, brand new episodes, bonus episodes every single week that only EPPs get. Bonus video content as well, and we're getting the kinks worked out of the new website too, which will have even more stuff for our EPPs. So lots of exciting stuff there. But another thing, if you want to help keep our show on the air and you really like it, is to share the show on Facebook, on Twitter, on Pinterest, on Reddit, on whatever social platform you like, you use, you know other people are going to see you posted about it on, please do that. That really helps us quite a bit. It helps new folks find the show and discover it, and in turn, we get more great ghost stories and a better show for you every single week here at Real Ghost Stories Online. So please do share the show. We greatly, greatly appreciate that, and that really helps helps us quite a bit as far as growing the community. Like I said, getting a better show to you. Our phone number here is 855-853-4802. Of course, you write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Tell Us Your Ghost Story. Noella writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Noella. I did it without even having to use the enunciation guide, believe it or not. And I'm not sure if what I'm about to tell you is considered paranormal or not, but it did make me wonder. It happened about a week ago, and I still haven't been able to get it out of my head. Well, here it goes. I was in the shower early in the morning, conversating with my sister, who happened to be getting ready for school at the same bathroom I was in. It wasn't anything unusual, as we do this on a daily basis, and my sister was talking to me. Could have sworn I was hearing voices in the distance having a conversation. I tried to listen very carefully and even told my sister to be quiet for a couple of seconds. As she did, I turned off the water and heard absolutely nothing. I asked my sister if she heard the voices, and she responded by asking, what voices? I then explained what I heard, and she laughed and said it was just my mind playing tricks on me. I let it go, and I agreed with her that it was nothing, and it was most likely just my paranoia getting in the way. I normally tend to get paranoid when I know she's about to leave, because I know I will be the only one home. 10 minutes later, she yells and says goodbye and tells me to please lock the front door when I get out of the shower. I agreed and said my goodbyes. 5 minutes later, I get out in my towel and proceed to the front door to lock it. For some reason, as I was walking to the door, I felt as if someone was watching my every move. In my head, I just kept repeating, get it together, Noella. It's nothing. So I brushed it off and proceeded to my parents' master bedroom. A piece of information I forgot to mention is that we recently moved into the house we're in. I would say we're almost a month in, so I'm still getting accustomed to the new house. Anyways, I walk into my parents' bedroom and into their bathroom. I was still in my towel, so I was just getting the things I needed from their bathroom. As I'm opening the door to walk out of the bathroom, I can hear my dog Ziggy growling. I cautiously open the rest of the door and can see him in full attack mode, growling at the corner of the room. In front of the door is my parents' wardrobe that has a gigantic mirror. As I look into the mirror to see what my dog is growling at, I see nothing. I'm still in the bathroom, scared to come out. As I'm standing there, I instantly get goosebumps and I feel the vibe in the bathroom change. I felt as if someone was watching my every move. I sucked it up and walked out of there as quickly as possible. I called to my dog to follow me. I closed the door to my room and my dog just stared at the door. He started sniffing underneath the little crack of the door as if someone was still there. I'm not sure what to think of this. I know some say that dogs can be very sensitive to the paranormal, but I'm not sure whether to classify this as paranormal. I'd love for both of your opinions. Thank you for reading my story. I'm sorry if this was a bit long. By the way, I love the show. Listen to it every day. I hope to become an EPP very soon. Take care, guys, and thank you once again.
I'm leaning towards it sounds like it could be paranormal, but it is awful early to tell.
Yeah, it's hard because there's not super strong evidence to point it completely in that direction.
No, I mean the dog barking at the corner when there's nothing there is kind of the strongest thing right now.
But our dogs do that too. Or our dog does that too.
No, she doesn't.
Sometimes. It's when you're not looking.
So, I don't know. I think maybe with time you'll know for sure. And I know that's kind of a shitty answer, but I think with only it being a month and you not having anything more than that, it's too hard to tell.
Yeah, I would say it is a little bit difficult, but if more does happen, please let us know. Be interesting to hear more updates on that.
Yes.
As time progresses. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Jill from Indiana writes in, this happened about 8 years ago. It was only my second investigation of ghosts. I joined a local group with my husband. I've always heard and sometimes see ghosts, and I did not like it, but he was a big skeptic, so we joined together. We went to an old cemetery from the 1800s. It was beautiful, but not scary at all. Felt right at home. After strolling around a while, I felt the air change. Felt like someone had turned on a lot of microwaves. I turned towards the buzzing. At the far back corner, it was so dark I could no longer see the trees. I could feel eyes watching. So I pointed and said, "That way is bad." This made most of our group run over there to investigate. I refused to go, so a girlfriend of mine and her husband stayed behind with me. I was using a digital recorder with earbuds in my ears to amplify sounds. That's when I hear children to my right running around the woods, yelling and playing. There are at least two kids, but it seemed like a lot more. I announced to my friends there are kids in the woods, so we would know it's not a spirit. But then, as I turned towards them, I could feel that buzzing again. They were so loud, I thought everyone should be able to hear them, but no one else could. We called for other investigators to be still and quiet. Still, only I could hear them. I stopped saying anything because I was afraid my group would think I was crazy. I backed away from the woods and let the others search the woods for people. That's when I felt a small hand pat my leg to get my attention. When I looked down, all around me, no one was there. So I said, "I'm sure you're very nice, but please don't touch me. It scares me. I'll try to send a clip in an email to Tony if I can find the address." This is an old clip from 2007, I think. This is an outdoor location. At the beginning of the clip, I say, "Was that you?" Another investigator, Jerry, says no. Then you can hear what sounds like children. No children were anywhere near the location. We took extreme measure to make sure of that. Also, the other people present did not hear the children, only Jill, as she was using her listen live method. See education page for more information on this method.
She had a couple of links in that story. One okay. was to the EVP, which we can probably put up on the website.
Okay.
I was not able to pull it down for okay. the show. And I guess maybe there's an education page that she had a link to on that talked okay. more about that method. But creepy children in the cemetery, that's kind of one of my favorite little niche stories.
Ghost children?
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere?
In cemeteries.
In cemeteries?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess if I could pick a place and time to be. If you can do that when you're dead,
mm-hmm.
I'd go be a child in a cemetery.
You'd be running around with your proton pack.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be freaking out people. Just like I did when I was a little kid, a living little kid. I would suddenly just rise up, you know, or you know, slowly come down from the trees. What is that? It just looks like this little kitty's got this thing on his back. We don't know what it is. That would be the mysterious thing. No one would know what it is.
They'd think you were an alien.
They probably would. And I'd be really disappointed. I'd be really kind of, that would frustrate me a lot. I'm like, I'm a ghost, damn it. You know, like, oh, there's this alien in the cemetery. No, it's just the kid that liked Ghostbusters a little bit too much.
Yes.
And now he's back, right by the receiving vault. We're going up there shortly to visit my home state. We should, we're going to take our annual walk through the Rienzi.
We have to.
I love Rienzi Cemetery. We could even bring the proton pack. It's in the office now.
That's one more thing to pack when we fly.
That'd be an interesting thing to take through airport security.
I have no comment there.
Wonder what they would say about that. Because it's such an old toy. I mean, and I wonder if anyone would even recognize it. What is this?
I think they would recognize it as a toy.
And then you say it loud. It's an unlicensed thermonuclear accelerator. Just like in the movie.
And that would be the end of the show because you would be locked away forever.
He tried to get an unlicensed thermonuclear accelerator through TSA. And then it would be a great, like, BuzzFeed story because, like, it turns out it was really a children's proton pack made of plastic, but TSA thought it was something bad. Meanwhile, other people are getting through with that great 95% failure rate.
I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to think about that because we're getting ready to fly.
Oh, gotta love it. Got to love it. 855-853-4802. Is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. We'd love to hear your real ghost stories. Of course, you can also write on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. I was just thinking, Harper could wear it going through the cemetery.
I tell you what, some year, if we get to go up for Halloween, we'll take it.
It has to be a driving year.
Yeah. You know, in a year or so, yeah. She'll be better we about a 12 to 13 hour car ride.
It'd be great. It'd be great fun. Anyhow, if you like the show, support it, keep us on the air, become an EPP, please. We greatly appreciate that. That will help cover our costs of distributing the show, the bandwidth, and all of the other fun things that come along with doing a show that's downloaded to the level that this one is. Thank you guys, by the way, for that. We greatly appreciate it. We just want to keep it going. So please become an EPP. RealGhostStoriesOnline.com is where you do that. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.